الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercies and mercy and blessing be upon you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your effort in joining together to offer our Aisha prayer together and for staying for this on a weeknight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring benefit from everything that we hear. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our knowledge, in our wisdom, and our application of His guidance. Inshallah. Ameen. Last week we talked about the verse اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ and the different types of guidance and what the straight path صراط المستقيم refers to. There's a slightly simpler way of explaining that which may be helpful that has come to mind, alhamdulillah. So when it comes to guidance, when we say اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather Allah has told us to ask Him to guide us, to give us hidayah towards صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, towards the straight path. So the concept of hidayah, of guidance, can be explained in, or has two different forms, which can be explained this way. So one is to seek guidance or to show someone the way, right? So show us the way towards the straight path, right? Ihdina, guide us towards the straight path. So for example, if somebody, you know, finds out about the importance of going to Hajj and learns about the obligation and he realizes that it is farz upon him to go for Hajj, but he doesn't know how to go for Hajj, he doesn't know what he has to do, so he asks someone for guidance. How do you go for Hajj? And this person gives him guidance and says, okay, well, you know, this is the process. You know, the Hajj is going to take place between this dates and this dates. You need time off from work. You need a visa. You need to go through a travel agent. The travel agent is the only one who can get you a visa from the embassy. You can't get it directly. The travel agent should be a certified, you know, agent for getting Hajj visas within your country. And then this is how much it's going to cost, and these are the Hajj groups available, these are the pros of these groups, these are the cons, you know, this, and so on and so forth. So this person gives us, this individual, guidance on how he can go for Hajj, and what he needs to do for Hajj. So that can be the first form of guidance. But now, whether that person is actually able to fulfill all of the criteria, right? So now he needs to make sure that he gets his holidays. He needs to make sure that he has enough funds. He needs to make sure that he can find a group in which there is space. Then he needs to make sure that he has a valid passport with at least 6 months of validity after the trip. And, you know, all of these things. Or when he's submitting a passport, he needs to submit his pictures. He needs to submit his, he needs to get the vaccinations. He needs to get all that in order. And then, right, the visa has to come back. And then, you know, he needs to be able to get to the airport and get on the flight. And then finally make it up to there. Up to Saudi Arabia. Then he, you know, everything until he gets to Arafah, right? On the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, that is when finally his intention and this guidance that he was seeking, when it will have been said to be completed, right? So all of that is not in his control. All of that is not in his control. Not everything there is in his control. So many things could go wrong. Right, he doesn't get time off, he doesn't even have funds, the groups are all sold out, he doesn't get visas, as it has happened to some people this year. Right? So all of that, that can be, that the coming together, all of those elements, is the second type of hidayah. Right? Which can be understood in another term, which is called tawfiq. Right? So coming together of all the elements, of all the pieces that are needed in order for something to happen. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, Not only are we asking Allah Azza wa Jal to show us the straight path, to guide us towards the straight path, to tell us, to make it apparent to us but also to make it happen for us, to give us the tawfiq that we have not just the intention or the desire, but also the ability and the facilitation of doing everything that is required or that entails being on the straight path. Now, in terms of guidance as well, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Qur'an, has given us the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right, so the guidance has been given. But sometimes, what happens to many of us, many times I should say, we don't know about things. Right? We're ignorant about things. And as life goes on, as time goes on, if we have the desire, we learn about new things. We learn about a verse of the Qur'an that perhaps we had even read, but we hadn't really thought about, and how it affects us, and the inspiration it gives us. Or we come across a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which gives us new meanings and new inspiration. Right? So this is a constant process of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, that even though that the guidance is there, it exists in the world, we may not have access to it, or we may not know about it. So we are constantly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, please make us aware of everything that we need to be aware of. May please make us understand everything that we need to understand in order to be on the straight path. And then on top of that, facilitate it for us as well. And so when we say Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, this is the type of you know, this is sort of like the summary of what we are seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now with regards to the straight path, and as mentioned, you know, that is something which is constant. It's not like I reach there, okay, I'm on the straight path now, you know, I'm on cruise control and I'm okay now, I don't need to worry about anything. Right? It's a constant process, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perhaps in His wisdom has told us to constantly make this du'a. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. And this is actually the du'a that we are, that the whole, you know, entire Surah Al-Fatiha is really about. It's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Right? Because the whole beginning part of the surah was about, the beginning part of the surah was about, you know, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was about, you know, mentioning the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was about, you know, mentioning our state of neediness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we've gotten to the point where we actually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is telling us what we should ask for. So what should we ask for? We should ask for guidance towards the straight path. We should ask for facilitation towards being on the straight path. And this is something which is continuous and constant. So nobody can think, no matter how big, how pious a person may be, no wonder how much of a wali he may be, no matter, you know, how pious and how much taqwa a person may have, everyone needs constant hidayah, right, in one form or the other, to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Islam, there's no stage where a person thinks, okay, I've reached this now, now I'm good, now I'm okay, now I can rest, because now I have nothing to worry about, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, is my friend, and I've become close, and that's it, and now I can sit back and relax. The Sharia doesn't apply to me, nothing applies to me now, I've reached a higher level, a higher state. That does not exist. If someone feels they're in that state, then they're being delusional. Okay, they don't understand the reality. Okay, so a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly striving to get better and better and better, no matter which level they are at. So we are all in the same boat. Right? Everyone in that sense is in the same boat, no matter which level we are at. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last verse gives more explanation, more detail about this Sirat al-Mustaqim, right, the straight path. He describes it further. And he actually tells us about three paths. Okay, three paths. Or you could say two paths, but there's three, you know, there's two different variations of the second one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he tells us to say, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. The path, so ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, so this is an explanation about that straight path, more details, right, telling us the characteristics of the straight path. So what is the characteristic? The path of those, sirat al-ladhina, an'amta alayhim, whom you have bestowed favor upon. The path of those who you bestowed your favor upon, who you favored. Basically the people you liked and you favored, and you know, you gave them the blessings of your favors. Now, in another verse in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala gives us an explanation, gives us some more details about the people who are on the straight path. And Allah says, "Wa man yuti'illah wa ar-rasul, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Okay? And then whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, Allah says, and whoever obeys Allah, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, those will be the ones upon whom Allah has bestowed favor. Okay? And then he gives us specific categories of who these people are. The النَّبِيِّينَ, the prophets. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ, the steadfast affirmers of the truth, right? That those people who are constant towards the truth, والشهداء, the martyrs, and والصالحين, and the righteous. Okay, so essentially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us examples that, okay, if we want to know what it looks like to be on the straight path, if we want to know who are the people who are on the straight path, these are the people. The prophets, the constant constantly truthful, the martyrs, and the salihin, and the righteous. Okay, so these are the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now the siddiqeen, the mufassirun, right, are those who are constantly true to the message and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever Allah wants from us, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever guidance Allah has given us, they are true to that. So those are the people who have reached a higher state of spirituality, a higher state of taqwa. Those are the people who you could say are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we read some time ago, where you know Allah talks about those you know that He loves. And He says that Allah declares war on anyone who harbors enmity towards my slave or the one who I love, right? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or rather in the Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you know, what brings people closer. So a servant of Allah gets closer to Allah by doing all the obligations, and then continues to do voluntary acts, the nawafil, and keeps getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Allah loves that person, right? So this is an authentic Hadith Qudsi that is mentioned. So we know that there are people who become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Mufassirun mentioned that the Siddiqeen that I mentioned are those people who are true in every way, and they're the people of truth, and they have attained the high level of spirituality and taqwa, where they become friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shuhada are, you know, the martyrs, those who have sacrificed themselves, those who have paid the ultimate price for no reason other than for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no other motivation. They only sacrificed, you know, everything that they had, sacrificed their life only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salihin have been described as those who, you know, those righteous people who are not just going towards the obligations, right? But they're not just saying, okay, what does Allah just want me to do, and that's what they stick themselves to. Rather, they go the extra mile. They take the extra step to do the commendable actions as well. So not only do they stay away from what is haram, but they'll also stay away from that which is makruh. They'll stay away from things which are undesirable, and they'll try to keep themselves clean. And when it comes to the obligations, they don't just stick to the fara'id, the obligations, but they also go beyond, and they act upon all the sunnah and all the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ and the other mustahabbat and all the other recommended actions as well. Right? So these are people who are trying to take a holistic approach to the deen, and are trying to act upon everything that is good and try to stay away from anything that is negative or that is undesirable, that is prohibited. So these have been described as the salihin. Now, you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Qur'an, has given us the words, has sent the Anbiya, alayhi salatu wasalam, the prophets, and he has given us these other examples as well, which tells us that to understand what the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, looks like, right, we're not just confined to words, right? And this is a method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has adopted, that He just does not give people words as guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just give people words for guidance. Rather, He shows practically as well with people. So this is why the Prophet ﷺ were also sent, right, with the books. It's not like Allah just sent a book and said that, okay, that this is from Allah and that's, if this is from me and that's it, you follow it. No, but there are prophets who were examples. So here we get, you know, more categories of people who are also examples, who, if you want to see Sirat al-Mustaqim in action, if you want to see it practically, these are the people that we want to look up to. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. So these are the two other paths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, continuing the description of the path that we want to be on. So we want to be on the path which of the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His favor upon. And we don't want to be not the path of those who evoked your anger, or who had anger given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, nor وَرَضَّالِينَ, nor of those who are astray, those people who have gone astray. Now the Mufassirun, the commentators of the Qur'an, have mentioned, you know, who have gone into a bit of detail about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be referring to. Because when He says, you know, those who Allah was angry upon, or who have earned anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hasn't specified who those people are. And وَلَضَّالِّين, those who went astray, He hasn't specified who those are either. But there's a hadith recorded in At-Tirmidhi where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, because Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu said that I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Allah saying مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, right? And he said that regarding, like, who are these people? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated that these were people who were following the Jewish faith. I then asked about the ضَالِين, those who have gone astray, and he said the Christians, right, the people who are following Christianity are those who have gone astray. Now, if you look at other verses of the Qur'an, there's other places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about other people too, who earned His wrath, or who earned His anger. Right. So this is in particular referring to people, the followers of the Jewish faith of the times in the past that are mentioned in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks clearly about His anger being upon them. And He gives a reason as well as to why they earned His anger. Right. And one of the reasons was that they denied the truth, they denied the messengers of Allah, and they killed them as well. Right? They killed the prophets of Allah without any reason, without any right. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said that they had earned His anger. Regarding those who had gone astray, and the reference to the Christians, was because they, due to their, whether it was their ignorance or their lack of thought, they went beyond the limits, right? So they were not willfully, they did the opposite of denying, right? So on the one hand, you had the people who denied and killed the prophets, and on the other hand, you had these people who embraced the Prophet of Allah so much that they exceeded, took him beyond, gave him reverence beyond what was acceptable and what was meant to be, right? So you have two extremes here and two opposites here. At the end of the day, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best exactly who He is referring to, but we don't want to be among any of those who Allah is angry at, or those who have gone astray, right? And what that indicates to us, based on this hadith, is that we don't want to be the people of excess, nor do we want to be the people of deficiency. So we want to be people who are on the straight path, and the straight path is the path in the middle. It's the path of moderation between the two. Because on the one hand, the people of the wrath, the maghdubi alayhim, what we understand, are those who knowingly go against commands. Okay, so these are some of the characteristics. So they knowingly go against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says something, and they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said it, and they know that it is a command, yet still knowingly they go against it, and they oppose it. And they do so in a calculated way, like fully knowing what they're doing, and they do it to follow their desires. So for example, if there was something in the words of Allah that which was difficult, or something that they didn't want to do, then they would just change it, you know, cover it up, hide it, erase it, you know, change the words around a little bit, you know, add a little word here, add something there, you know, change things around to make it suit their desires. So we don't want to be doing that. Okay, we don't want to be reading the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a big problem, especially it's going to become more and more of a problem as time goes on. Okay, we open the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not just open the book of Allah, but we come across rulings, we come across positions which seem difficult in today's times. And at the same time, you know, we don't want to, perhaps we don't want to deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that. So then we try to find excuses and try to find a way out, try to find some way of reinterpreting it so that, you know, the Arabic stays the same, but the meaning that we take out from that is a little bit different or is a little bit easy for us so that it fits in to what our current circumstances is. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that there's no flexibility when it comes to deen. There is flexibility, but that is for the people of knowledge and the people of taqwa. So knowledge and taqwa, to look at not just one verse or two verses, but to look at all the teachings, so the Qur'an and the sunnah, and look at the current circumstances, and then give rulings according to that. But what we cannot do, and what we must not do, is read the verses of the Qur'an, and start deciding that, okay, this is something that we want to act upon, this is sort of outdated today, so this is not something, even if we're not able to do it, we may not be able to act upon everything. But at the very least, we must know that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said is true, and is the best, is what we are supposed to be doing. Now, whether we are able to do it or not, due to our own weakness or due to circumstances, is a different matter, right? But to understand and to believe that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said is the ultimate truth, and that is always going to stay the truth, no matter what anyone tries to say, and no matter what anyone tries to do. So we don't want to be the people who are changing things around. Right? Whatever Allah has said that in His wisdom, and that is true. And that's where it must stay. On the other hand, we don't want to go into excess and exaggeration either. So we don't want to take something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, or that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, or has told us to do, or perhaps hasn't even told us to do, make it a part of the deen, and exaggerate things. Right? Because once we start exaggerating and adding new things, then this is the path to going astray. Right, so what we want to do is we want to try to stick as close as possible to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, what the Prophet ﷺ has said. Whatever they have said is absolutely true, and there cannot be any doubt about that. If you're not able to act upon it, then that is due to our weakness. That is not due to any weakness or any shortcomings in what Allah and His Messenger ﷺ have said. And if there's something that we do not understand or that we feel that, you know, does not fit, does not work, then any understanding or interpretation or reinterpretation or whatever you want to call it needs to be done by people of knowledge and the people of taqwa. Because you can have a person of knowledge who has, you know, 10 degrees, right, who has studied a lot, but taqwa is lacking, right? And if a person is lacking taqwa, is lacking the consciousness and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they'll play around with Allah's words, they'll play around with the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the result is going to be bad. On the other hand, you could have a person who maybe has taqwa but doesn't have knowledge, right? And that is also dangerous, because he's trying to do what he thinks is best, but he doesn't have the knowledge, right? So you need to have people who have knowledge and the people of taqwa. And once you find that person, and it's not easy to tell, of course, because taqwa, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you can't really measure that. But that is something that you try to look for in terms of their dealings and their behavior and the signs that you find. And then you go to these people and follow their guidance. So to recap, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, okay, so this is the path that you need to ask for. The straight path, the path of those who were favored upon by Allah, not the path of those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was angry at, and not those who went astray from the path, who went beyond the path. So if you look at Surah Al-Fatiha overall, right, because again, we recited many times in Salah, right? It goes by, it flies by, we're not really paying attention, we're not connecting with Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So in the beginning, in the first verse, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Right? What are we reminded about? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to tell us? Right? What indication, what is He hinting to us? Right? So He's talking about His greatness. Right, so all praise, right, all praise and thanks are due to Allah, the Rabb of everything that exists, right, of the entire universe, of everything that exists. So the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first thing we need to realize. Right? So when we're starting our salah and we recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that's the first cue to recognize the greatness of Allah and our position in relation to Him. Really that we are nothing and He is everything. Right? So that's the first thing. And you know, if that's something that if we actually internalized and if we actually understood that and appreciated that, that will solve a lot of problems. Right? Because a lot of times we don't realize as human beings, we don't realize how small we are. We don't realize how small we are and how great Allah is. Right? And sometimes we end up underestimating the abilities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, or we start, you know, thinking that, you know, we start thinking of Allah on our own terms as we think of each other, unfortunately, right? Which is obviously blatantly incorrect. Okay, so recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to think about His mercy. He's talking about His mercy. Maliki yawmiddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about His justice, right? Because He's talking about the day of recompense. You will have to pay for your actions. You will be brought to account for everything that you're doing, right? So think about justice, think about fairness. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, our neediness, right? Which we're admitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are needy, right? We worship Him. We are, as we talked about last week, right, we are servants, we are subdued. Right, we put ourselves under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make ourselves confined to what Allah wants, not what our desires want. Right, so we worship Allah, we tie our love and our hope and our fear and our humility and everything and our trust with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so we're tying ourselves to Allah and we're showing Him our neediness and the fact that we ask Him for, we pray to Him for help. So we're asking, we're indicating our neediness. Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim, we're thinking about Allah's favors. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors people. And when He really wants to favor someone, nothing can, nobody can stop that. Okay, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly wants to favor someone, nobody can change that and nobody can stop that. Okay, so He's reminding us about His favors. And finally, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ, His anger and displeasure. Okay, so we start off with the greatness of Allah, His mercy, His justice, our neediness, His favors, and His anger and displeasure, which is the last thing that should happen. So you see in the surah, the last thing that's mentioned is what? His anger and displeasure. Right? So that's the last thing that should happen to us. Right? The first thing we should start off is thanking Allah. Right? Always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always praise Allah, attribute any success, any goodness to Allah. Start off by praising Allah, recognize His greatness. And the last thing that should happen to anyone, the last thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, is that we get His anger and we go astray. Right? That Allah does not want us to do that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the way, He's showing us guidance, He's given us everything that we need to come onto the straight path. Yet unfortunately, our desires and the, you know, the evil inclinations and waswas through the shayateen and so on, that lead us to not follow that. But the guidance is there, and of course, we also need the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that tells us that desire needs to be there, that desire to be guided, to truly want to be guided, to truly want Jannah, to truly want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to truly want to love Iman, to truly want to dislike kufr and shirk. Right, all of these things. So this really needs to be our desire. If someone really wants it, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to them. But we need to want it first. If you're going to have, you know, a careless type of attitude, a laissez-faire attitude where you say, okay, it doesn't really matter, then this is a gift. The iman is a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Right? If we don't value that gift, Allah can easily snatch it away from us and give it to someone else. And this happens. This happens over and over again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Right? So the iman, as you know, the du'a, you know, it's mentioned in the Quran as well, and we make that du'a. Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-isyan. Right? So ask Allah for that. That, oh Allah, please, you know, ingrain the love of iman in our hearts. You know, make us love iman. and engrave it in our hearts. Right? Make iman engraved in our hearts so that it can't go away. That it's there and it stays there, like something that is etched, something that is engraved. وَكَرَّهِ لَيْنَا الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِسْيَانِ And lead us to dislike, to, you know, really hate and dislike disbelief. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the beliefs. I'm not saying, you know, to hate disbelievers. I'm talking about to hate the disbelief, right? The act of disbelieving or what disbelief entails. And, you know, fisq and sinning. Right, and things which are, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. So we want to ask Allah to etch that in our hearts. So we want to have that desire. And we have that desire, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it come out for us, inshallah, make it happen. We'll facilitate it, inshallah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrating a hadith Qudsi in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that I have divided Surah Fatiha into two halves. Into two parts, into two halves.
And when his slave says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ نَعْمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالضَّالِّينَ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this part of the surah is exclusively for my slave, and my slave shall receive whatever he has asked for. And this is recorded by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Right? So, whatever is being recited in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding, and especially that part about asking for guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He will grant us. What does that tell us? Right? That is something to ask for. Right? Being and thinking that I'm a believer and I'm a Muslim and I'm a mu'min is not good enough. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue to desire guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to give it. Insha'Allah. Now this surah is also referred to as Ummul Qur'an. Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the chapter commencing with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen is the mother of the Qur'an, the mother of the book, Ummul Kitab, Sab'ul Mathani, the seven oft-repeated verses, and Al-Qur'an Al-Azim, the great Qur'an. So these are some of the different names for Surah Al-Fatiha. Right? Ummul Kitab, Ummul Qur'an, Sab'ul Mathani, and Al-Qur'an Al-Azim. And one of the reasons why it has been referred to as is because the Arabs named anything that concisely summarizes something or comprises the most important part of something as So Ummul Kitab, Ummul Qur'an, why? Because it comprises of or summarizes the essential teachings of the Qur'an. So this one surah summarizes or captures the essence of the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who truly understand and who truly use this surah to connect with Allah, because it is a very, very powerful surah. This is what I mentioned in the beginning, right? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us, commanded us to recite this in every single rak'ah of every single prayer, minimum of 17 times a day. If you just pray the fourth prayers, this tells us that this is something very powerful and something really, really important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding, the desire to ask for hidayah, for guidance, for all of our matters, especially when it comes to our faith and the straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us as He wants us to be. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. This Friday we are off. Actually, the two coming.